Chapter 27, 14 June 1937. Lizzie tossed in her bed as a whimper penetrated her sleep. It grew fainter and stopped. It was Piers. She could now recognize each baby from his cry. She settled back. Moments later it came again, louder, more insistent. She got up, pushed her feet into her slippers, and ran to the adjoining room. "Poor Piers! What's the matter, then?" She swept him up in her arms and over to the window. When she drew back the curtains, she was surprised to find it was morning and the sun was already up. Suddenly, and without warning, her stomach was churning. She couldn't believe it was threatening to expel its contents until she felt the acid of vomit rising in her throat. Dumping Piers hurriedly back in his cot, she ran for the bathroom. His wails of protest followed her, but her own need was urgent. She was retching over the bowl, on and on, but nothing would come up. Her stomach was empty. She felt ghastly. As she reached for a tumbler of water, she saw her face reflected in the mirror, paper white, with sweat standing up in beads across her cheeks and a look of absolute desperation in her eyes. As soon as she drank the water, the feeling of nausea left her. She stood with her forehead pressed against the cool tiles, taking deep breaths, trying to calm her thudding heart. For the last 2 weeks she hadn't allowed herself to think such a calamity was happening to her. It had been a shadow in the back of her mind, too awful to contemplate. Piers was wailing at the top of his voice now. She splashed cold water on her face, steadied herself against the washbowl for a moment, and prepared herself to return. She'd been worried about this happening when Joey had first started loving her. But he'd been taking precautions, she knew, and he was reliable about that sort of thing. After a year she'd ceased to worry. Time seemed to be proving Joey was right. It was perfectly safe, as he'd said. Until now. Why, oh why, did it have to happen now? Piers' cries stopped abruptly, and she could hear Hannah crooning to him. Oh, God, it didn't bear thinking about. Here she was, engaged to Nick and wanting to marry him. She dragged herself to the nursery door. Hannah was changing Piers' nappy. "You all right, Lizzie?" "Yes." The walls were solid in this house. She'd kept her wits about her and flushed the lavatory to drown any noise, so Hannah couldn't have heard her retching. She couldn't talk about it. Not yet. After all, she couldn't be sure. "You look a bit washed out." She pulled herself together. "Still half asleep." Of course she was sure. She'd heard Maisie complain often enough about the first symptoms. Heard her deliberating whether or not. What else could be causing her to feel like this? Paul had been wakened by the noise, and his round blue eyes were staring up at her from his pillow. He opened his mouth to demand attention, and she lifted him, glad to have something to occupy her hands. Hannah's dark eyes followed her across the nursery. "They're such a comfort to me. Hugo has gone, but I still have the babies. I do feel so fortunate. They are lovely." Lizzie flung the wet nappy into the bucket and reached for a clean one for Paul. The trouble was, she hadn't accepted it yet. She wasn't on an even keel about it, and worse, she hadn't decided what she was going to do. She didn't want to do anything, change anything, but... You can't imagine how desperately frustrating it is to yearn for a baby and be unable to have one. I think it warped my whole life. Lizzie buried her face in Paul's nightgown. She wanted to cry out in anger. She wanted to shout out that having a baby you don't want was 1,000 times worse than being deprived of one when you do. Hannah had forgotten about that. Hadn't Maisie railed against her lot when she found she'd fallen for another? And having Joey's baby now she'd left him was 1,000,000 times worse. It was catastrophic. She didn't know what she could do. "Funny, isn't it?" Hannah said. "Now I'm too old to have my own. The twins are making me feel normal for the first time in my life." Lizzie wanted to weep. Just when she thought life was going her way... She didn't want to lose Nick, but she couldn't tell him this. She certainly couldn't expect him to be a father to Joey's child. No wonder she'd felt Joey between them every time Nick had kissed her. She'd been carrying his child. It had taken Nick to make her realize that she'd grown out of Joey. He had been part of her childhood. Now she was grown up, she wanted Nick. And how was he going to feel when she'd just accepted his ring and promised to marry him? When she talked of buying a farm with her money and of the idyllic life they would have together? Lizzie wanted to scream. She loved Nick. How had she managed to do this to him? Now then, we've made them comfortable and given them a drink. They'll be happy to kick in their cots for a while, till Nancy comes, Hannah was saying as she smiled across the cots at her. I'm going to have a bath and get dressed. Lizzie did the same, because it was part of the morning routine here. As the warm water washed over her, she knew she must make up her mind about what she was going to do. She wanted to marry Nick, but she wanted to do her best for the coming child, too. She remembered her own childhood and Joey trying to console her by saying, "Your father's a king," wanting to believe it, yet knowing it to be another fairy tale. All her life she'd yearned to come face to face with her mother, knowing nothing of her, but wanting to believe some catastrophe had parted them. Then meeting her so recently. Now, days later, that was still too painful to think about. Two black-gloved hands flying to her face. The veil had not hidden her shocked surprise, and most painful of all, she turned away, not even wanting to speak to Lizzie after all these years. Lady Mortimer had been the same. Neither wanted to acknowledge her presence. They were treating strangers with more friendliness. That had cut to the quick. She now knew her own mother to be selfish, thoughtless, and downright cruel. All her life she'd railed against what had been done to her. She had to believe that to be truly contented, a child needed to feel loved by both parents and be brought up by them. For her child, nothing less could be justified. She could not do to her child what her mother had done to her. That would mean marrying Joey. How often had they already agreed they would? During their childhood, he'd been all in all to her. He could be again. The bond seemed unbreakable. A gulf had opened up between them recently, and they'd quarrelled, but it was because he stole and pilfered and wanted revenge on her family. Now Hugo had left her all this money, Joey must see revenge was no longer appropriate. Hugo and Hannah had done their best to atone. She and Joey would have all the money they needed, and he would have no reason to steal anything. She might be happy with Joey again. Perhaps fate intended them to stay together. It was the longest bath she'd ever taken. By the time she was drying herself, Lizzie had made up her mind. She would go back to Joey. She felt a little better now she'd made the decision. Joey would be pleased to have her back. He'd be thrilled about the baby. For herself, she felt numb. She dared not examine her own feelings. It would be selfish to follow her own wishes. She felt bad about what she was going to do to Nick, bad about what she was going to do to Hannah after all her kindness. As she sat opposite Lizzie at the breakfast table, eating a boiled egg, Hannah said, "I mustn't dawdle too much. It's my morning for the tennis club." Lizzie knew that for years she'd been playing tennis on Wednesday mornings. She'd already tried to persuade Lizzie to go with her. "What are you going to do?" Lizzie tried to find the words to tell her. They wouldn't come. She was going to pack her suitcase and go back to Joey. She shivered. She'd made a complete mess of things. After breakfast, she took some writing paper up to her bedroom and wrote to Nick. It was the hardest letter she'd ever written. She folded it into a large manila envelope and wrote his name on the front. Then she slid the ring he'd given her from her finger and put it back in its leather box. She almost changed her mind when it was time to seal it in the envelope with her letter. Turning her back on Nick was even harder than rejecting Joey. She loved and wanted Nick. All her instincts were to cling to him. She told herself her duty was to the coming baby. Hadn't she rated duty to a child very highly when she had been that child? She'd felt very strongly that her own mother should have done more for her. Dorothy was responsible for her position now, 18 years later. Dorothy's action had caused her to be bound so closely to Joey. She found writing to Hannah no easier. All the time she was doing it, she could hear Nancy in the nursery next door, talking to the babies as she got them ready for an outing. She'd moved to this bedroom, intended for a live-in nanny, so she could attend to the babies if they needed anything in the night. She heard Hannah's footsteps on the landing. She was going straight into the nursery. Guiltily, Lizzie pushed her letters out of sight and went in too. Hannah was kissing the babies goodbye and telling Nancy when she'd be back. On impulse, Lizzie kissed her too. She heard Hannah drive off and waited again until she heard Nancy carry the babies downstairs, one by one, to the big twin pram. From the window she watched her push it out down the drive and into the road. Then at last she took down the two new suitcases she'd bought in preparation for the holiday Hannah had proposed and started to pack her possessions. When she'd almost finished, she went downstairs and telephoned for a taxi to come to the house. Methodically, she carried her suitcases down to the hall and propped the two letters on the mantelpiece there. When she heard the taxi on the drive outside, she went out and asked him to take her to Wanslow Road. She couldn't look back as the taxi pulled away. Didn't think of what she was doing. She had been happy at Oak Ridge, happy that she'd been accepted as belonging to the Mortimer family. She'd felt she'd found herself here, and now she was turning her back on those she loved. She had to blink hard to keep the tears back. New Ferry looked painfully familiar. It made her think of happier times with Joey. She forced herself to think she would be happy with him again. As the taxi turned into Onslow Road, she was feeling in her bag for her purse and the key to the front door she'd never given up. She didn't expect Joey to be home. She got out, watched her suitcases being unstrapped from the running board and put down on the pavement. It was only when she turned round that she noticed the aspidistra had gone from the sitting-room window, and so had the curtains. Her heart seemed to turn over. The curtains had gone from every window. The shock left her gasping for breath. "Wait, please wait," she managed to get out before the taxi went. She'd never even considered that Joey might have moved house, yet she should have. Hadn't he been upset because she'd brought Nick here? She put her face against the bay window with a hand each side to shut out the sunlight. The room was bare, stripped of everything. It took 3 attempts to turn the key in the front door. The fawn lino stretched up the hall. There was nothing else there. The stairs had lost their turkey carpet runner. She felt panic tearing at her. Joey had moved, and she hadn't the slightest idea where he'd gone. He'd be careful not to let anyone know. She'd certainly never find out from the neighbors. He didn't trust anybody. Didn't trust her either. He hadn't given any thought to the fact that she might need to find him. The house felt chilly. She went back outside to the sun. "Where to now?" the driver asked. Lizzie rested one foot on the running board and tried to think. Back to Oak Ridge? Would she be in time to get her suitcases inside and remove those letters before Hannah returned? She didn't want to go back. It would be twice as hard to leave next time. But where was she to go? She didn't have very much money. She couldn't afford a room for herself until she received the income from what Hugo had left her. She didn't know how long she'd have to wait for that. And she'd still have to find Joey. She knew he'd do his best to cover his traces. That was the whole object of moving out of this house. He wouldn't have told anybody his new address. She felt paralyzed with shock, couldn't think what to do next. She glanced at her watch. Almost lunchtime. Hannah had been telling Nancy when she'd be back. Lizzie tried to remember what she'd said, but she hadn't been concentrating. Sometimes Hannah had a sandwich at her club. It came to her then that Joey would be at work. He must still be at Evans's. Nick would surely have mentioned it if he'd given up his job. She gave the driver the address of the factory and got back inside. Now she was frightened. What if she couldn't find Joey? And the last person she wanted to see now was Nick, who worked in this dour mill-like building too. The taxi was pulling up outside before she felt ready. She looked up at it and shivered, then paid off the car because she might need her money for other things. Desperation gave her the courage to walk in through the main door and ask the receptionist to let Joey know she was here. Perhaps she'd timed it well? She knew she'd arrived just 5 minutes before he'd be due to break for lunch. She sat on the edge of the chair the girl had indicated, knowing now it would have been much more sensible to get in touch with Joey before she'd burnt her boats at Oak Ridge. She recognized his quick footfall before he turned the corner and felt a flood of relief that he was here. When he came in sight, he had such a look of surprise on his face. "Lizzie?" His strange eyes swept nervously from her to her suitcases. "I've come back," she whispered. He snatched up one, seized her arm, and drew her towards the door. "Let's get out of here." He seemed even more nerve-wracked than she was. "You've moved. I couldn't find you. Couldn't think of any other way to get in touch." Lizzie found herself on the pavement again, Joey's fingers biting into her arm as he hurried her along. "I thought you'd be glad," she said. "I thought you'd want me to come back." "Of course I do." His glance was desperate. He didn't look at all pleased. "In here. We've got to talk. We'll have a cup of tea." Lizzie found herself in a small cafe. Joey urged her towards a corner table covered with oilcloth and pushed the two suitcases as far underneath as he could get them. An urn hissed behind the counter as the girl served Joey. The windows were covered with steam. Lizzie was quaking. She'd never seen him so het up as this. He came back with the tea. "Nick said you were settling down well, that you liked being at Oak Ridge." "Yes." Her mouth was dry, but the tea was scalding her tongue. "I'm pregnant, Joey. I had to come back." It was never easy to know what Joey was thinking. His odd eyes stared at her, expressionless. "It is yours."
"How do you know it's mine? You and Nick, you got engaged."
"Nick wouldn't until... he said this was our time for courtship, and that's what we were going to do. We were going to build up to marriage, and we'd do that quite soon. You know what a gentleman Nick can be. He wanted everything to be perfect for me. He never touched me."
She heard Joey expel a long, pent-up breath. "I'm glad you've come back. I always knew you would."
Lizzie searched his face. There was no sign of pleasure on it. The cafe was filling up. She saw two different men nod towards Joey and then look with interest at her. It seemed to be making him even more uneasy. "Where are you living now, then?"
"Shh. Come on. We can't stay here after all. It's filling up with people from Evans's."
"Does it matter?"
She tried to drink her tea. She was thirsty, but it was still too hot. "Of course it does."
Lizzie found herself outside, weighed down with one case and being hurried along again. Up the next street, round the corner and down an alley. "Where are we going?"
She was puffing.
Joey was looking round with such stealth. He waited until an old woman and a dog went round the corner out of sight, and then he advanced on an Austin 7, unlocked it and heaved her suitcases onto the child's seat at the back.
"You've got a new car now, Joey?" "Get in."
He took her up several more streets. She had no idea where she was when he pulled into the curb and stopped.
"We should be all right here. We'll get married, Lizzie, as soon as possible. No point in pussyfooting about now."
She smiled with relief, but he didn't seem to relish the idea. Not really.
"Only if you really want to." "Of course I want to. Didn't I always say we would one day? Well, now there's some urgency, but I want you to promise not to go near the Mortimers again."
"Why? Hannah was very kind."
"Because you'll give away my new address. It was you who brought Nick back to Onslow Road. I wouldn't have moved if you hadn't done that. I don't want you to do it all over again."
"All right," she said. Joey was acting even more strangely. "I'd hardly know what to say to them after this anyway."
How do I know Nick won't be coming round after you again?
He won't know where to come, will he?
Look, I'll take you now. You'll like it, Lizzie. It's in Bebbington. A nice modern house. Got everything this time.
We had everything in Onslow Road.
I didn't feel safe, not after you brought him round.
Lizzie shivered. She'd forgotten just how strange Joey had grown. She could see he'd gone well up market this time. The house was in an avenue with trees planted in the pavement. There were small gardens in front of the pebble-dashed semis. Joey stopped before one of them.
"Open the gates for me, Lizzie."
She swung back the low wooden gates, and Joey drove up onto the drive and indicated the garage doors. Amazed, she opened those too, and Joey had the vehicle inside and was closing up again as fast as he could go.
"Aren't you going back to work?"
"Yes, but I don't want everybody knowing I've got a car."
Lizzie blinked. "Does it matter if they do?"
"Yes, it could. Come on inside."
He had the key in the lock when he saw a girl hurrying up the pavement. He almost pushed her inside.
"What's the matter?"
"That girl. She's a typist in Mr. Gleason's department. You stay out of sight."
He was outside again, looking for all the world like Sherlock Holmes, careful to keep behind the hedge, but clearly watching where the girl went. He came in, kicking the door shut in his temper.
"Looks as though she lives up the road. Could you believe such rotten luck?"
"For heaven's sake," Lizzie said, "what difference does it make?"
"I was hoping you could unpack and make things more comfortable this afternoon. I haven't had time yet."
"Of course I will."
"No, don't bother. We'll have to move again. I don't want anyone from Evans's knowing where I live."
"For goodness sake, she didn't even see you."
"She soon will."
Lizzie felt the tension tighten within her. Joey hadn't been as strange as this when she'd left him.
"You must be up to something. Something big this time that you have to hide."
"What if I am? It shouldn't surprise you."
"Who'd think to ask her about you?"
"If there's a hue and cry out for me, she might volunteer it. No, we've got to get somewhere safer."
"Joey, you're obsessed about it."
"I'm careful. That's what you want me to be, isn't it? Careful."
"I want you to stop trying to swindle the Mortimers. Give it up, Joey. You won't have to do any more of that now. Give it up before you get caught."
She told him about her inheritance. "It's a gift from Hugo. Family money. They don't owe me any more, Joey.
We'll have so much we won't know what to do with it. I want you to promise you'll never steal anything again."
"With that," Joey breathed, "I won't have to. And with what I've got already."
"You'll put all this behind you? Turn over a new leaf?"
"Course I will. Be a pillar of society from now on."
Joey was 10 minutes late by the time he arrived back at Evans's. The familiar hush had settled over the office, which meant the rest of the staff were already getting on with their work. He moved rapidly up the corridor, trying to put his feet down quietly and not draw attention to himself. Thankful he didn't meet anyone. He slipped into the hall, taking in the back view of a dozen pairs of shoulders diligently bent over desks. He was gliding silently to his chair when he saw Mr. Gleason talking to a clerk on the front row. Joey was gripped with panic. He'd got his ledgers open on his desk by the time Gleason stood over him.
"You're late, O'Malley."
"Sorry, sir.
It's happening too often."
"I'll try to be more punctual, sir."
Joey held his breath. He was filled with dread now whenever a member of senior staff came near him. He was terrified they were going to mention the losses, accuse him.
"See you do."
He was going, thank God. Joey felt himself relax a little. He was a bag of nerves. Sitting at this desk hour after hour, day after day, was driving him mad. The clock was directly in his line of vision on the wall in front of him. Every time he lifted his head, he saw it. The hands went round so slowly. Every morning he crossed another day off his calendar. He hated every minute he had to spend here, but he'd been determined to sit it out. Up until this dinner time, everything had depended on doing just that. But now Lizzie was back. She'd done so much better than he had. In a few short weeks she'd netted 100,000 for herself and kept strictly within the law. 100,000! He let his breath whistle through his teeth. She was dead against his carrying on with his plan, though she'd no idea what it involved. He'd keep her in the dark from now on. He had to. He wasn't doing too badly himself, but he'd be for the high jump if any of it ever came out. It would be foolish to stop now, before he'd packed his bank accounts with cash. If the worst came to the worst and he went down, they'd never find all his accounts. He'd still come out to a small fortune, because that was the way he'd planned it. Nobody was on to him yet, and with care they wouldn't be. He'd already done the hard work and set everything up. He'd get his hands on the wages if it was the last thing he did. Today was Wednesday. He had 2.5 more days to work this week. Then there was just next week, 5 full days before he started his holiday. 2 weeks tomorrow, and he'd have it all in the bag. He'd be a gentleman from then on. For once Nick was engrossed in a job when one of the clerks came to his desk to say, "You want it on the phone?" There were 2 phones in the hall, and the operator put personal calls for staff through to that manned by one of the clerks. Nick hurried across, expecting to hear Lizzie's voice, because this was how she contacted him. It was Hannah.
"Nick, something terrible has happened. Lizzie's disappeared."
He stood staring at the blank wall, hardly taking it in.
"What do you mean?"
"She's gone away, packed her things."
"She can't have. She said nothing about going last night."
"She left me a letter. I went down to the club for a game of tennis and found it when I got back a few minutes ago. She says she's going back to Joey." Nick turned round in consternation. Joey O'Malley was writing at his desk. He seemed to sense Nick's gaze and looked up. His odd eyes glinted wolfishly across the desks.
"He's here. He's been here all morning."
"That's what she says."
"But why? She was happy enough last night. I don't understand."
He had a cold feeling in his stomach.
"I don't either."
He heard the agony in Hannah's voice. It made him feel worse.
"She's left a letter here for you. Will you come round for it?"
"Yes, yes. When?"
"Any time you like."
"I'll come now. It's almost lunchtime." He put the phone down and stared at the wall for a moment, feeling totally gutted. He had a terrible urge to smash his fist into Joey O'Malley's face. He couldn't believe it, not when Joey had been at his desk all morning. He looked at the office clock and tried to pull himself together. It needed another 10 minutes to lunch, but there was no point in sitting down at his desk. Work was beyond him the way he felt now. He strode outside to his car and drove straight up to Prenton. Hannah's face was ravaged with worry when she opened the door to him. He followed her into the square hall, and she pointed out the manila envelope propped up on the mantelpiece.
"It's where she left it. I haven't touched it."
Nick froze at the sight of it. He could see the square bulge inside, and knew she'd returned his ring. Hope died at that moment.
"Aren't you going to open it? Find out what she says?"
Hannah's eyes were wide with suffering. He snatched it down and collapsed on the baronial chair. The box with the ring fell into his hand. He rammed it straight into his pocket and unfolded her letter. Her writing danced before his eyes, making it hard to read.
"Dearest Nick, I hate having to write this, because I know it's going to hurt you very much. I'm so very sorry to tell you I can't marry you after all. I know you won't be able to understand, but I have to go back to Joey. Please, please don't try to persuade me to come back. I can't. I do love you. I meant all I said, and I shall think of you always. Please try to forgive me. Love from Lizzie."
He closed his eyes and leaned his head back against the uncomfortable carving. The letter cleared nothing up. She was still saying she loved him, yet she was going back to Joey. It didn't make sense. Hannah was pushing another letter into his hand. He saw it was in Lizzie's writing.
"Dear Hannah, you've been very kind to me and tried to make me welcome in your home. I've been happy here, helping to look after my half-brothers. I'm truly grateful for all you did to make me feel part of the family. I find, after all, I have to go back to Joey. I'm afraid you'll think me very underhand that I didn't tell you this morning, but I couldn't find the courage. Also, I was afraid you'd try to persuade me otherwise, and it has to be this way. You'll think even worse of me, because I've taken a note of Hugo's solicitor's address, so I can get in touch with him when he's had time to prove the will. Please don't try to find me. I can't come back. Please forgive me. Nick sighed. He felt sick.
Where did I go wrong?
He pushed his letter over to Hannah.
She does love you. She can't do.
Nick felt rigid with the rage that was directed at Joey.
If she's gone back to Joey, she must love him more. I know it.
It's not what she says.
I'll go and see her. I know where Joey lives. I'll go straight away while he's still in the office.
You must have something to eat first.
I'm not hungry.
But Hannah's hand on his arm was steering him into her kitchen.
Just something left over from feeding the twins, she said. You'll feel better if you do.
She made him eat cottage pie, though it stuck in his throat. He couldn't sit still, couldn't relax, couldn't even look at Hannah's downcast face. Lizzie had asked him not to try and see her, but he had to. He wouldn't believe this until he heard it from her own lips.
"Where did I go wrong?" he asked again.
He refused to stay for a cup of tea and drove down to New Ferry at a breakneck speed. He knew as soon as he turned into Onslow Road that the house was empty. The curtains had gone from the front windows. Anger boiled within him then. He'd been through all this before. Joey would be as obstinate as hell about giving his address. Well, this time Nick wasn't going to let him get away with it. He drove back to work at an equally furious pace. Nick knew he was late. There was a settled silence in the hall that told him everybody else was back at their desks. Joey's mouse-brown head was bent low over his. There were ledgers open in front of him, but Nick could see his mind was miles away. He strode right up to him, and Joey looked up. There was perspiration on his forehead. Nick knew he'd seen Lizzie this lunchtime. He could see it on his foxy face as clear as daylight.
"Where is she?"
"Who?"
"Don't let's go through all that again. I want to see Lizzie. I want your new address now."
"I don't know what you're talking about."
"Stand up."
Joey didn't move. Nick yanked him to his feet by his tie.
"Tell me now,"
he said through clenched teeth.
"Lizzie doesn't want to see you. Leave her alone, can't you?" "Where are you living now?"
"Onslow Road."
Nick hit him then, a hook under the chin that had him reeling across his desk and sent one of the ledgers skidding to the floor.
"Get up. You're going to tell me."
Joey rocked back onto his chair.
"For God's sake, can't somebody save me from this madman?" he gasped.
For the first time, Nick realized the whole office had stopped work to watch. Somebody touched his arm.
"Take it easy, Nick."
He shook himself free and strode hurriedly out of the office. He sat in his car for 20 minutes until he'd cooled down. Then he didn't know where else to go but back to Hannah's house. She was out in the garden in the sunshine with the babies. She'd asked her cook to bring out a pot of tea. He was gasping for a drink by the time it came.
"All employees have to give an address," he said. "I'll get Greg to have another go at him. Tell him he'll get the sack if he doesn't. He can demand that, surely."
Hannah sighed. "He might be getting the sack anyway. Don't say anything in the office, but Matt's talking of cutting the staff down."
"We'll be able to get Lizzie's address from the solicitor. She'll have to contact him before she can get the money. I'll tell him to insist on an address."
"How long is that going to take?"
To Nick it felt like the end of the world as he knew it. He wanted to get right away from Evans's. He couldn't bear to see Joey O'Malley every day and know Lizzie was with him. There was no reason now why he shouldn't accept Capital Farm's offer. It was an escape route. He had to get right away from here. Joey sank back on his chair, rubbing his chin.
"You all right?" Stanley Bream asked.
"Whatever made Nick Bendigo feel like that?"
He shook his head, as though at a loss. Though Nick had socked him one, he'd managed to keep his lip buttoned and given nothing away.
Now he'd had time to think about it, he was pleased with the way things were going. He was another one up on the Mortimers. He'd taken their money, and he'd got Lizzie back. And there was the baby. He mustn't forget that. He'd been really upset when he'd heard Lizzie was engaged to Nick Bender. Lizzie was his. They must get married now, quickly. But with the baby coming, it was what she would want. He'd tell her it was because of that. Got to have everything right for Lizzie, now she was an heiress. There'd be more men sniffing round once they found out she was rich. Marriage was the answer. He'd fix that up as priority number one. 100,000. He still couldn't get over it. He'd done himself a bit of good making that baby. Lizzie was one of the best, anyway. She'd have been his choice even if she was still penniless. He'd certainly had a lucky streak. Could he arrange the wedding for a week on Saturday? They could have their honeymoon in Blackpool, then. He took a piece of paper from his desk and started to draft a letter to the Bellevue guest house, changing his booking from single accommodation to double. He'd go into Birkenhead in his dinner hour tomorrow and see if he could fix up the date with the register office. He could pay a few more checks in while he was down that way. Had he thought of everything? There seemed to be 1,001 new things to consider. In a way, it didn't make it any easier, Lizzie coming back just at this time. She was a distraction, and he had to keep all this a secret from her, too, which wasn't so easy when he was living with her. She'd know when he went out at night. There'd be questions, and he'd have to watch what he said. He shivered in a sort of macabre ecstasy. It was a thrilling time all the same.